This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. And again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can still get on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. But if you want to have your name on that subscription list, you'll have to send me your name and address and I'll send it on to them. The website has the radio programs on it and a weekly meditation on it. You can download these programs there. So if you want my mailing address or my website address, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Last time we were looking at John the Baptist, we read from Luke 7 and verse 18 down through Luke 7 and verse 35. And I want to continue with that section, but for sake of time, I don't want to continue to read the whole thing. I know that today is Father's Day, and many fathers will be enjoying the company of children who will hopefully honor you and love you and take you out for a hamburger someplace if that's what you desire, or a great big steak. It is a day when we as fathers need to ask ourselves whether we are meeting our responsibilities to our children, particularly with regard to spiritual things. We can see that we can be like the scribes and Pharisees and teach our children to be skeptical of those things that are true and right. Or we can take our place in weakness, like the publicans and sinners often did, and recognize that while we haven't always been the best example to our children, we would like to have our children believe in spiritual things in the right way. People say they're spiritual today, but they don't go to the Bible and believe in the truth of the Bible. And what we're really saying is that as father, you're probably going to have a great influence on whether your children are skeptical, questioning the Word of God, questioning the value of the Bible, or whether in fact they're going to really see you as a role model in trusting in the Lord Jesus. You can make it easy for your children to believe, or you can make it hard for your children to believe. Mothers are usually the nurturers and often do lead children to the Lord when the family environment is such that they can. Fathers are the example that children use to see or to gain their concept of God. And so today, as we think about Father's Day, I hope that you've taken your children to a good Bible-believing church, and I hope that you yourself have come to faith in the Lord Jesus and that you are trusting in Him and that your assurance is in the Word of God. As we pointed out last time, John the Baptist needed to be reassured from time to time, but nevertheless, the same thing that assured him the first time was what assured him when he had his doubts when Satan did his attacking. And you need to be a role model to your children in your faith and in your confidence in the Lord Jesus. Now, as we look at this passage, we can see that John the Baptist was in prison. We probably wouldn't know that from this passage, but we know it from other passages that describe the same event. He was in prison, and he was questioning the circumstances in his own life. Now, he had seen the Lord, as we mentioned last time, be baptized, and he knew the Old Testament scriptures. And I just want to read here, from verse 24, when the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? In other words, something that had no stability? Or did you go out to see a man clothed in soft garments? In other words, did you go out to see a professional rich man? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, you went out to see a prophet and more than a prophet. And then we have this quote from the Old Testament. Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. So John the Baptist had been the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy in Malachi himself. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And it's interesting that the purpose of John the Baptist was to turn the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers on Father's Day. Turn the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And So we end up at the end of the Old Testament with John the Baptist coming to preach repentance and to make fathers what they ought to be and children what they ought to be. And what they ought to be is people who have turned away from self-will, from idols, from their arguments about God to the Lord Jesus, and they should be trusting in Him. So he says he is a fulfillment of prophecy. And then he says, "For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." So John the Baptist, as far as God was concerned, was the greatest prophet. And I think the reason he was the greatest prophet wasn't that he was the best prophet, but he had the opportunity to actually be there and see the fulfillment of the things that he was telling them about. He could point out the Lord Jesus and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He not only knew what God was saying, and he not only spoke for God, because a prophet really was one who spoke for God, and he not only could speak for God, he could point to the fulfillment of some of the things that he was speaking, that he was telling the people should happen. The Lord Jesus had come, and so he was in a position that the Old Testament prophets were not in. The prophecies, in many cases that they prophesied, had a future fulfillment. The prophecies of John were being presently fulfilled. And so he was greater in the sense of having a better position with regard to his prophecies and being able to actually see in the Lord Jesus the fulfillment of all that the other prophets had prophesied when it came to messianic prophecies. And of course there were those who believed what John was saying, and it was interesting that it was not the people you would have expected to believe it. The religious people, as we pointed out over and over again, were not willing to accept the fact that the Lord was who he claimed to be. But those who didn't have those religious problems, the tax collectors, those that were sick, the scribes and the Pharisees turned away from the Lord, while the publicans and sinners probably included a lot of people that we wouldn't want to associate with, prostitutes and others, they saw their need of the Savior, and they turned to the Lord and trusted in Him. And I'm sure, as we see from John chapter 8, there was a woman caught in adultery in the very act, and when the Lord didn't condemn her, he said, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." I don't think she went out and continued doing what she was doing. The Lord says, "Go and sin no more." But she turned to the Lord. She was saved. The religious people continue in religious sin, pride, hypocrisy, control, whereas the publicans and sinners, they accepted the Lord for who he was, and they were cleansed, and they were changed. And so when it says that they justified God, these people that heard, the tax collectors justified God because having been baptized with the baptism of John. I don't think the baptism of John was really the means of justification, but I think it was the evidence of their justification. And that's the way baptism is today. We don't get baptized in order to be saved, but we get baptized because we are saved. And when we are not baptized, there's a big question as to whether we are really saved. Because if we're really saved, why wouldn't we want to identify with the Lord in baptism? And so when it says the tax collectors justified God having been baptized with the baptism of John, and when it contrasts that with the Pharisees and lawyers who rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him, not being baptized was a rejection of God, and it was an evidence of their heart condition that they had rejected God. So while baptism, again, is an outward manifestation of what is going on in the heart, I don't think baptism today saves, but the saved should be baptized. And I don't think baptism in that day justified the tax collectors, but those who were believers in the Lord and had been made right with God or declared right with God were baptized. Scribes and Pharisees had rejected him, and so they would not be baptized. They did not want to be associated with the preaching and the ministry of John the Baptist. But as we look at this, the thing that I find interesting is that today, as I listen to people, there's an old saying that we can't confuse some people with the facts because their minds are already made up. And that was the case with the scribes and Pharisees. The Lord says, John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking wine, and you say, that is, you Pharisees say, he has a demon. You aren't going to accept him because he wouldn't eat or drink wine, and that's legalistic. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, and you're not going to accept him because he is a sinner. He is associating with the wrong people, and he's not doing what we think he ought to do. We see this religious control they wanted to have over the Lord's life. And he says, but wisdom is justified by all her children. In other words, the wise, you'll see the results of wisdom in a person's life. And even though the scribes and Pharisees wouldn't have been considered wise, the end result was that they acted as though they understood and they were wise. But it wouldn't have made any difference as to what the Lord did. The scribes and Pharisees would not have believed. Their minds were made up. And there are people like that when it comes to a lot of things in life. They have prejudices. They have their minds made up with regard to whether the Bible is true or whether it isn't. They have their minds made up as to whether there's a God or not. And there is absolutely no opening whereby you can go and help them understand that perhaps, just perhaps, they're wrong and what they believe doesn't even make sense. I see it even in the political sphere. If a thing is repeated often enough, the people who want to believe it will believe it whether it's believable or not. And we have to be awfully careful, don't we, that we actually believe the truth. Because if you don't want to believe that John the Baptist is a prophet, nothing is going to convince you that he is. If you don't want to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, there's nothing that's going to convince you that he is. And yet, the Bible has been given to us, creation has been given to us, conscience has been given to us, in order that we might be convinced that we need to repent and believe. And friend, on this day, we need to find out if we are a self-willed people, going our own way with our minds made up, or whether we have had our minds changed by the work of the Holy Spirit as it uses the Word of God, as it uses creation, as it uses our conscience to convince us of our need of the Lord Jesus. God is real, and we are going to meet him, and I'm so glad that I'm going to meet him with Christ as my Savior. And whether a person believes that or not, the Bible says it's true. And I believe God, and I hope you do too. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and our blessing upon all those who have listened. We thank thee for John the Baptist, who, though he questioned the truth, still was able to believe the truth that Christ was the forerunner, the one that was fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies, the Messiah. Help us to be confident in that today. And remember those who have never put their trust in the Lord Jesus as we commit ourselves to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening. Thank you.